This morning's gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, which can be found on page 863 of your pew Bible if you would like to read along. Although this is still early on in the gospel, a lot has already happened. Jesus has called his disciples, has performed the first miracle of turning water into the finest wine at the wedding of Canaan, and has cleansed the temple. For the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus has been busy and has drawn a lot of attention to himself, which has made a lot of people wonder, who is this guy? And can he really be the one we've been waiting for? Some people come to see him as he does his work and addresses the crowd, coming to be part of all that he is doing during the day. Others, who are afraid of being seen and what following Jesus might mean for their life, come to him at night when they are hoping it might go unnoticed. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have life eternal. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The more things change, the more they seem to stay the same. A good example of this is today's scripture passage. Nicodemus goes to see Jesus in the dark of night. He goes at the dark because he wanted to know more about this man. He felt drawn to his ideas and his teachings, and yet he didn't want to be associated with him or to have him interfere with his career as a political religious. He wanted to safeguard his life, and yet no more. He needed to know more directly from the source. He wanted to be in the presence of this man who had made quite a splash in a short amount of time. I mean, who makes water into the best wine ever? And who enters the temple and turns everything upside down? But Nicodemus has a career to think about and cannot be seen with this man in the light of day. So what does he do? He meets with him in the dark of night, where there's nothing or no one to see them. After all, this is before the day of social media. And so he goes to Jesus in the dark of night and meets with him and dives right into a deep 3-point dialogue, as only a true professional religious would do. It was like he thought this would be the perfect way to start a sermon or something. Jesus receives Nicodemus in the night and engages him in the time of conversation. And with each question, they delve deeper and deeper into the mystery of faith that is developing before the people of God, who have been faithfully following the law in the tradition of their Jewish faith, but now see something happening that is different than anything they have experienced or seen before. This is just not how you do things. There's a law, a time, a season for everything, but not for these things. Nicodemus has loved the Lord as a Pharisee, and instead of wanting to pass off what Jesus is doing as sinful or wrong, as many of the other Pharisees are doing, because it is different than what has been done before, he wants to know more about it because he believes. He truly believes it is from God, even though he cannot understand it. And so he comes to Jesus, even if it is under the cover of darkness of night. He comes to Jesus, and he seeks to learn more. So in verse 2, Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." He acknowledges that Jesus is doing this work with God's presence. Who's the we? We do not know. But at least he acknowledges that he is doing this with God's help. And so Jesus responds very truly, which of course marks that he is trying to emphasize something here. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Jesus is referencing a spiritual birth that would have been marked through the gift of the Holy Spirit, being born of God's people. This would have been an event that just happened and everyone would have seen as Jesus had gone through his baptism by John. And the heavens would open up and the Spirit would come down like a dove upon him, and the voice from on high would say, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." It would be like a birth of a ministry, a birth of a new season, a birth of God's work in this new time. And yet, who knows if Nicodemus is trying to trick Jesus, or if he's trying to truly understand, or if he's just being what we call in our house a smart aleck, because my kids are too young for me to say what I want to say. As Nicodemus says, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And that's when all the mothers in the room cross their legs, because we know that's not going to happen. And Jesus doesn't skip a beat, because Jesus knows that this is a question that's trying to be sarcastic, or is trying to drive the point home that this is a little bit of a trap, maybe. And Jesus responds, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." In other words, Jesus says, stop messing around. If you want to learn, I will teach you. The flesh is the flesh. This isn't a second birth of the body. This is a birth that comes through baptism. This is a birth that comes through the Spirit. This is a birth that marks you as God's. This is a birth that will show that you are in God's kingdom, marked as God's, growing in the Spirit and living life for God. This is one that is going to be open to the Spirit guiding you in ways that are very different than your own. It requires an openness to following where you are led, because the Spirit will lead you in ways that are different than your own, because you can't determine where the Spirit will lead. Only the Spirit can do that. And so Jesus is calling it for what it is. He's not going to be rude, but he's also going to name it for what it is. If you want to be smart, Jesus will be smart right back. And so Nicodemus at that moment just says, "How can these things be?" Lost at that point for anything else to say. And as Nicodemus's comments get shorter, Jesus's responses get longer, because the Spirit is now moving and able to enter the conversation, because Nicodemus is finally realizing he's not the one who's directing the conversation. And so Jesus responds, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not know, understand these things?" As a Pharisee, they were supposed to know everything. They had studied the law their whole lives. They knew the scriptures inside and out. And yet, here was Nicodemus, and he did not know. And that was a Spirit moment right there. And he had come to the teacher to finally listen. "Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." In this, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, all that you have learned, all that you think you know, has been taught to you through those who have studied these things on earth. And they are important and they're good to an extent, but you can only know so much. I am here to teach you of the spiritual things because I have been there and have come to fill those voids. Now is time to listen and to grow, to be filled and to understand. And it is in that moment that Jesus expands that to take it a step further, as he says, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." In the book of Exodus, there was a moment where there was a situation with a bunch of snakes. And in order for the snakes to stop killing the people, it's a long story, it's a complicated story, and it would take a whole sermon just to discuss it all. But to make it shorter, Moses had to lift a serpent up on a staff, and everyone had to look at it. The serpent wasn't the salvation. Moses holding up the serpent wasn't the salvation. It was what God was doing in that act that brought the salvation. And so here, when it says, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. God is the one who brings that salvation. God is the one who is lifting up the Son. It is in that act that salvation comes. This is probably one of the most quoted scripture passages, and is probably one of the most used passages to exclude and abuse. It is held up on signs at sporting events. It is held up on hats, it's on outfits, it's on bumper stickers, it's everywhere. And yet, when we read it in its context, what does it truly say? When we are filled with the Spirit, we are embodying God's work in this world, living for God and showing God's love to others. And this passage, when laid out in this way, shows us that. It says, for God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in God may not perish, but may have eternal life. Sit with that for a second. When we listen to this, as it has been laid out, and we see it in this way, we know that Jesus' sacrificial act on the cross is an act of salvation for all who believe in our Lord. It becomes very tricky once we start putting qualifiers on it. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believed in God should not perish, but may have eternal life. This is where salvation comes. The act of the cross brings salvation through the Spirit, but it is the work of the triune God. The God in God's self, the God, all three persons of the Godhead are there. Just like Nicodemus, we try to make earthly what is spirit. Just like Nicodemus, we try to seek answers that will satisfy what we think we already know. And yet, I wonder, are we brave enough, like Nicodemus, to seek the Lord out, to bring our questions, even if we think we know the answers, and see what happens? Are we brave enough, even if it is in the darkness of night, to go before the Lord and bring these questions to light? Because we might be surprised what God can do with earthly things when we bring them to his divine presence. What does it truly mean that God so loved the world? That God gave his only son? What does that salvific act truly mean? Friends, for God so loved the world, for God so loved. Can we love too? Can we love in such a way that we can bring hope to this hopelessness world, or hopeless world, and show the way where there seems to be no way? Can we so love that we can show that our God is the God of salvation and calls us to seek justice for our brothers and sisters in this world? And to seek justice for the world itself? The world that God entrusted to our stewardship? Can we so love the world that God so loves, looking past the way we think it needs to be done, and opening ourselves up like Nicodemus did, to truly hear how the Spirit is calling us to proceed. Whether we go in the daylight or go at night like Nicodemus, may we all go to the Lord and hear what it means that God so loved the world. And may we seek to love the world and all that is in it with the love of God. In the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer, amen.